Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Thursday stream that is actually on a Thursday once again. Hooray! Hooray for us! Woohoo! Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Thursday. I'm, of course, here, because you can hear me, but we also are joined by our regular co-hosts at this point.
Indeed.
We have Mr. Trigg. Sorry, yeah, I have us playing in like three different places. I didn't realize we're open, so I'm there. We go. How are you doing there, Trey?
Pretty good, pretty good. I was considering speaking in Russian at this point, but I realized mm-hmm. I pretty much know how to say hi, and my name is Trigger Hippie, so that'd be a pretty brief conversation.
But
had a good week so far. Yourself?
I've done pretty well. Just busy as usual. Been storms here in the UK. My power went out earlier, and I'm hoping it holds out for the rest of the stream. So
batten down the hatches. It's supposed to be like 100 miles an hour winds and stuff. Don't know if it's that.
I don't know. It's pretty calm here, and also I am here as well.
Yes, indeed. Greetings, Emily.
My week's been shit. I've had a rotten head cold. I look like I've actually been like punched in the face. I've got massive, or not as bad today, but both Tuesday and Wednesday I had massive big like puffy black eyes just from my sinuses being so swollen.
Oof. Oof. Jeez.
So I get for walking about the frozen rain in Chester for about 20 odd miles over the weekend.
Not good. So not the coof this time, just a normal head cold.
Nah, it's kind of funny. I think it's because I take so much vitamin D that I'm having just this really adverse reaction to being out in the cold so long. I think if I was any like normal person eating crap food, I'd probably be dying, like having proper flu at the moment or something. But I'm just like, it's all contained in my sinuses and everything. I've just got like clear water running up my nose. There's not an infection or anything. It's just pure irritation.
You've just got a cold. It's just a bit miserable. But this is, yeah, apparently, according to some people, you're actually dying.
Sounds grim. Dear. But glad you're better. Glad you're feeling better.
Getting there.
But yes, we're having a very, very cheeky, breeky one today. But before we get too cheeky and too breeky, I'll do the normal shilling stuff. We have, as always, available our Streamlabs. That is the best way to donate to us. I know a lot of people don't like Streamlabs anymore, and I understand why. I've been looking for alternatives, but honestly, a lot of them aren't that good. So best way to get questions and stuff read out is Streamlabs, or if you just want to throw us a few dollars or poons for bucks. We also still have monetization enabled on the channel somehow. So you can join. I just saw that Mr. British Knight has been in for 9 months. Thank you there, Mr. British Knight, a good friend of the channel. But you can do super chats, but do be aware that YouTube does take quite a hefty cut of that. as we were talking about off air a little bit, we have the Nomos event in Birmingham happening.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are still curious about that, I'm going to put out an update on Saturday. I won't have an interview available this time. I haven't been able to arrange that, but I'll hopefully have that out next week. But I will have an update regarding what is happening in terms of food, in terms of, you know, order of things. I'm going to put out a general update on Saturday because a couple of people have been curious. Mm. We've got a couple of slightly snooty messages. Yes, there will be food. It will be good food. We are paying £20 a head for that, for the food, so it better have so that's like half the ticket price there. There is catering at this event.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's just I think it's something we've kind of mentioned on Twitter, and I don't think it's not to kind of be like woe is us or anything like that, but it's to sort of remind people that we aren't doing this Nomos event so that we can take all the, you know, you can top up the ticket money all you want and presume that we're going to make money out of it. I can promise you we are not. We will be lucky to break even if we sell out of all tickets. So it's kind it is only possible by the fact that people show up that we can do it, which sounds very obvious, but it's very true. I think we're almost halfway sold the tickets by now, I would hope.
Yes. Yes, we are. No, we are getting towards that, but we're not half sold yet. We need to actually pick up the pace a little bit. So, although I'm hoping a couple of things will mean that is the case. I would still hurry up though. They do tend to disappear. All the early bird ones are gone. We've got a couple of people asking about that as well. They're all gone. But yes, No More Birmingham is still happening, and it will happen on the 26th. We do hope to see you there. Although it probably will get shilled a bit more widely over the next couple of weeks, so I don't think we'll actually struggle to sell the rest of them, to be honest. It does seem to accelerate pretty much as we get to the time. So we had quite a few people last time miss out. But so do get your tickets where you can. That's enough shilling.
Tell your friends. Get
Tell you,
everyone to
tell you.
come.
Yes. Is there anyone who wants to shill anything else? Evelyn Trigg, have you got anything?
I've got my D&D on Monday nights, which has been a good laugh. Last I say hi to Wisped, who has said yes indeed. Minyasa vote trigger hippie, yes.
Yes.
Yes, Wisp. So sorry there. That's it. That's all my Russian. That's it. I've done it now. I can also compare coffee to borscht if you like. Don't ask me if there's something strange about the teach yourself Russian program I'm using at the moment. It seems to think the borscht and coffee is something you might confuse, which trust me, they're not. No. So that's my plugging is Monday night D&D nonsense.
Also on Monday, I will be streaming the second half of the Hoppe essay I was reading last week with Peter Quiznos or Quinones. I shall not call him Quiznos Republic. No, he's gonna appear behind me.
He's gonna appear behind you. Know it's Mr. Peter Quinones Quinus. I've seen it pronounced many different ways, many different times. But he will be there. He
Yes.
did specifically say the only one he doesn't like is the one you just used. So good work
Oh,
there.
PQ, that's normally what I say to avoid that.
PQ, yes, Mr. PQ. Anyway, shall we? It's been a very interesting week of people running around shouting that the sky is falling, and then the sky refusing to fall.
Well,
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to start with old Uncle Joe, not Uncle Joe
Yeah.
Stalin, the other Uncle Joe.
Not Rogan.
Yeah. Every
Ah.
indication is that Russia will attack Ukraine within the next, sorry, the next several days. This is one just from earlier on today. President Joe Biden warned Thursday morning a Russian attack on Ukraine could begin in the coming days, casting a new incursion into the country as well, but certain that warning Moscow could stage events in the lead up to generate a pretext for war. It's like, oh no, they might play by our playbook. They were not allowed to do that.
I just get the bit that gets me is who the hell is actually going to tell anybody when they're going to attack? It's this is it, it will be in the middle of the night when you're not expecting it if they do, and they're not going to because, as I've said, this is all it's a big non-event. This is saber rattling on Russians' part. They will be essentially trying for essentially a little bit more political leverage. Well, we'll get into it, but NATO and Russia, sorry, and America are playing a very dangerous game in my book.
I'm not even
They
necessarily
shouldn't.
sure. I think that's the whole gaslight here is that the Americans and NATO are the aggressors. Putin's essentially in a position whereby the only thing he can do, really, in any sort of tactical sense, is just not get gang fucked by NATO.
The things I don't even think NATO would deploy.
Well, they because they don't have to. He can't call their bluff because they'll do him in, and he can't
Well,
make offences into Ukraine because he doesn't want Ukraine. He doesn't want to be closer to Europe.
this is the crazy thing is that I don't think Russia would get gang fucked by NATO. This is the hilarious thing. It really wouldn't. Russia's military has done a big U-turn since Georgia in 2008 and 2014. Russia has significantly improved its military, and if you look at the military doctrine the West and NATO have been using, which is essentially air power, once you've got air power, then roll in the troops. If you look at the way Russia have designed it, they've got air defenses that will kill most well, we don't have an aircraft that can defeat their air defense, and Russia is set up for massive artillery and armor. Which, honestly, I don't think we would win this. Or if we did, it would be an almighty mess.
Well, no, of course, it would be a stalemate. But I mean more in a sense of modern sort of guerrilla warfare where you just kind of have NATO forces walking about being a front for other ops that are happening.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, with regard to insurgency, yes, but both sides are good at that.
But I don't think, you know, you could imagine America and UK and Germany and, you know, all of, you know, the Five Eyes and NATO, that together, mm-hmm. nothing can really compete with that, which is, of course, the whole point of the arrangement.
It's going to be a clusterfuck in the Donbass again, basically. Right. That is the state of it. I a friend of mine sent me the whole Reuters link to what was going off in Maidan Square in Kiev the other night, which was being televised live as if something was going to happen, and it was nothing. I mean, you know, the Russia embassy memed it quite nicely with the
But it's just the complete crap. I mean, I think Boris and a number of the Tory party members have basically been doing the exact same thing. Where they essentially quote what would otherwise be pretty normal training exercises. I mean, this is always the thing you get when they want to heighten panic around some sort of event, is they play on the Dunning-Kruger effect to the normies, and they show you all these different military training exercises and this, that, and the next thing, and border patrols, which normally go on 24/7 anyway. But because you're now seeing them, people are then, they're all scared.
Yeah. It was very, very obvious to anyone who has a working brain that Putin did not want to go into Ukraine in a conventional heavy sense, because he has never needed to in the past, and he has already achieved more than he thought he was going to achieve in Ukraine back in 2014. Everybody says that Russia invaded Ukraine. It was a little bit more complicated than that. They did what the West does, in that they went around and armed a bunch of ethnic Russian militias in the east of Ukraine, who consider themselves part of Russia, because that's how Ukraine was constructed. I think in future, at some point, we're going to regard the settlement after the end of the Cold War as something of an equivalent to Versailles, in how that many people on the border of Russia still see themselves as Russian, or would still like to look to Russia as their protector. That is true.
Isn't it something like 20% of Ukraine's population consider themselves ethnically Russian?
Well, see, this was the whole issue that started off in the first place, was that a considerable portion of the Russian population were essentially willing to say, no, we will not continue to live in Ukraine on an agreement, the fact that it is Ukraine, if it is a NATO state. They essentially wanted to suggest that, you know, they as Russians are still happy to live in what's recognised as Ukraine, as long as it's politically neutral in regards to NATO.
Yeah. Yes, it's about a third.
It should never be looking at becoming NATO. And I was watching something today, they were going, oh, well, you know, to be honest, you can't have a successful democracy in Europe if they're not part of the EU, or at least tied to the EU and part of NATO. And to that I say, really, let's have a look at Finland. Because they managed it very nicely, thank you very much.
You can't be part of our content without the structures of our supranational organisation that we all can't leave.
There's the big dichotomy here that a lot of people can't understand, is that not regurgitating CIA propaganda isn't like endorsing Putin and everything Putin. There is this horrendous, again, very pre-Iraq war, freedom for eyes mindset of you either support the war or you're on their side. It's extremely like basic monkey brain shit. And it's just hilarious to watch people engage in it. Because I've been like going around like whacking people with a stick and being like, where's the invasion? Where are the Russian troops? Where are they? I've just had people just all over social media just being like blocking me because I'm just clowning on them.
Oh yeah, what was it? Who was it you were arguing with the other day? Was it Bloody Vernaculus or something? It was
yeah,
like,
he's somebody
they're who's on the border. They're gonna do it.
Is that a picture of Vernaculus?
Yeah, he looks like Spyro. Sorry. He also, well, the thing is, he said a bunch of stuff about Biden and basically shit his diaper.
Oh,
and said he wouldn't talk about politics anymore.
Is he the only other guy other than Richard Spencer that believes Biden actually got elected?
Yeah, maybe, yes. No, he basically said that the Biden government wouldn't be as bad as you said, guys. And then immediately all the things he said that wouldn't happen happened. So he took his ball and went home and pretends to be a historian now. Even though he doesn't understand. Yeah, basically. That's the trajectory everyone from the Gamergate days takes. Either they like become kraut, they end up in prison, or they walk the fine line that we have taken, and you have to become increasingly more based. There's like a series of shit. It's like a pipeline there. There's like a series of shit tests that everyone has been through, and a lot of people have failed.
That's a future stream topic. The pipeline of shit tests.
Yes, it's quite funny that I could very very confidently say to these people more than a week ago when this panic first started that the Ukraine is not going to be invaded in any conventional sense. That is insane. To suggest,
well,
like,
see, that this is a kind of wider discussion I've had with people before. That as much as we discussed a lot of the total state stuff the other week in regards to the military, when it becomes modern states attacking modern states, especially in the sort of the technological societies that we have now, even to some extent in somewhere like Ukraine, where you still have, you know, communications infrastructure, television networks, you know, gas and oil networks and all this kind of stuff, you can't just go in and blow it up because it's then no use to you. You have to go in and subvert it, and you have to go through what they're going through at the moment, which is, you know, nearly a decade and a half long process of actually just trying to collapse Ukraine so that then they have an excuse to go into the collapsed Ukraine that they collapsed in order to protect it from Russian aggression.
If you look at the places that America has invaded over the last 40 years, as it has been, you know, the protector of the free world, in quotes, the places it's gone and bombed, it's been Vietnam, a pre-industrial society in many ways. It's been Serbia in the 1990s, after it finally got over what they refer to as the Vietnam syndrome. It was Afghanistan.
Where they bombed it into a pre-industrial country.
Yes. Then it was Afghanistan, a cave with a mosque attached to it.
Yemen.
And Yemen, yeah. Which is basically like the Saudis' weapon testing ground that has been for the last 40 years. and Iraq, which was a relatively developed country, but they didn't really care about that.
Yeah, hence they bombed it back into the pre-industrial age.
Yes, there's been all these cases, but you're right, Trig. The common factor in all of these is that at least when they first went in there, there was really no chance of them incurring large technological losses. If you look at the weapons that NATO has now, if you look at the Eurofighter, if you look at the F-35, they are basically like living examples of what Hans-Hermann Hoppe talks about the price of defense increasing and the quality decreasing. Mm. Because if we don't have very many of them, and if the UK was to lose all of its Eurofighters, which it could conceivably do in a few days of operations over Ukrainian airspace an aggressive Russian presence, it would take them probably about a decade to rebuild that. Because it took them about a decade to build it up.
They couldn't. I can tell you right now they couldn't, because the length of the production run from initial design to actually producing the final products, which they're still doing for the Eurofighter, has been over 40 years. So all the people who did the original design work are all dead.
No. Okay, right. For a start, this is something I know a little about. They could go into mass production very, very quickly and very easily.
No. My dad worked. Well, my dad built them. I know.
Yeah, so did I. they can go into mass production on them fairly quickly. It would require a huge amount of money, which... But they what you're saying is they couldn't design a new one. Yes.
Well, more of
that said, the French came out with the Rafale really fucking quickly after they went, no, isn't you fuckers the... are fucking about with the Eurofighter.
But isn't the Rafale basically built in Britain by BAE Systems anyway, though?
No.
The Rafale is a Eurofighter derivative that has carrier capabilities. Yeah.
What I was going to say is the fact that if they were to mass produce some form of aircraft, it might look like a Eurofighter, but it will not be the same. Because I can tell you that the production run stuff for all the radar bits is years and years and years.
It will be the Tyrannus. It will be the supersonic drone that BAE have been working on and have had in sort of mothballs for a little while.
I think that they think that they can mass produce these things, but I think they would struggle massively. The NATO hasn't had an enemy that has any sort of force projection capability in its entire existence. It never fought a war directly with the Soviet Union. It's an untested in many ways organization.
We know we can't deal with the photonic radar systems that the Russians have in certain areas, which can literally see something that has a radar signature of an inch by an inch. So literally, you are looking for the bumblebee doing over 400 miles an hour, and you shoot a missile at it, and any stealth aircraft that thinks it's being sneaky goes into little bits of confetti. It's that simple. Their radar system can look at wires. It can literally see wires on a power grid. It is that high resolution.
The big stealth aircraft can't beat that. The big takeaway from this, though, is that a conventional war between NATO and Russia is horrific. It's as unthinkable as nuclear war was during the Cold War.
And that's why I've been just grabbing some of the stuff on Twitter. Like, that's why stuff like this JB News tweet that got deleted is absurd. This idea that, like, you know, Russia is going to have an imminent land invasion on a developed nation, and it's happening tomorrow, and we know. Would you believe it or not, the terrorist passports that were, they didn't get burned by the jet fuel, and we just found them at the bottom of the Tower 2 kind of shit.
It is very much that.
They're going to have to go and cover up their story by changing all the titles, so it's going from 1 a.m. to any time with massive blitz or this kind of nonsense. It's just...
I can't find the Twitter, but it basically says that there was that guy who very famously predicted the end of the world and got it wrong.
Mm.
Like, even he admitted he was wrong. They're never going to admit that they're wrong. They were wrong about this.
Yeah. Well, they never do. That's why they come up with something, say that's a story, put it forward as a truth, and then move on to the next truth.
That's it. I just said that even Harold Camping apologized.
Oof.
Because he was the guy who said that Judgment Day would be September 1994 and put up all those adverts quite famously.
Mm.
Yeah, it's sad because it's basically every day since about a week and a half ago they have said the Russians are going in today.
Yeah.
And every day it hasn't happened. And every day they pushed it back. As you said, there was a headline that changed from 1 a.m. to, you know, imminently, basically. And we're seeing in real time again the type of news cycle that we saw during the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. Well,
the delegates need to leave the.
Yeah.
You know, citizens of whatever nation, they need to get out, contact your embassy, and leave now. And all the journalists, they'll get hunted down next. And...
Well, the big thing was that the Ukrainian Prime Minister came out and has repeatedly said that, one, he has been misquoted by the Western press, and two, that people need to calm down and stop panicking because this is destroying Ukraine's economy and it is making it untenable for it to exist in many ways. They have caused great damage to Ukraine because of this.
This is the other question, is Ukraine is extremely mineral rich. It's got a lot of oil, it's got a lot of coal, it's got a lot of graphite, it's got various alumina silicates. It's got some rare metals. Russia as well have got basically half the palladium resources in the world. If we can't go to war in this situation and expect to have cars and electronics and various other stuff, the idea of this happening is unthinkable. It would destroy the Western economy as much as Russia's. Also, I don't know if it would destroy Russia's. Russia's shifted its economy to be very insular, to be very fortress Russia these days. It's still dependent, but Russia's a very, very big country, though not an awful lot of
Well,
people in it. It's got a
the
lot of
big thing is that
resources.
Russia does a lot of trade with, weirdly enough,
China.
Venezuela, China, Iran. It doesn't, ignores
Lots
it.
of there used to be lots of gas that came through Syria of all places, but that doesn't anymore. I wonder why.
Yeah, it's weird that all that Syrian gas got cut off. How bizarre! What a
The
coincidence!
articles are all just nonsense. As I said, it's like, oh, Ukraine has launched 10-day military exercises. Russian drill on this coast getting shut down, and they're blaming each other
I
and
don't know, Russian
tensions,
drill will
and
probably go pretty hard.
it probably would, to be
Sorry.
honest. But it just it's the same sort of just nonsense about what is normal day-to-day life
I
if
mean,
you.
look at the sidebar though. Scroll back down a bit again. What is this? No, your child's COVID vaccine. Autism saves farm workers. What the
Wait,
fuck?
where did they say autism saves farm? Oh,
He's
God,
right at the bottom.
farm saves autistic workers from isolation.
What
Divide over Scotland's gender laws.
the f It's just, you just see this in
Inside
passing
the
and it's
minds
just.
of Nazis.
Yeah.
Revenge porn. Red warning.
It's just,
Shark
this is.
attack.
This
Sex
is
about.
ext.
See, like, it's like all the bits in movies where they whinge about like news headlines and just that being some sort of op to get us all panicked. It isn't half sometimes, is it?
I feel like we should have like a big thing that flashes on screen saying this is what normies actually believe. Like, I just.
The normies are scared by this.
I can't imagine like the state of complete and utter confusion that the majority of the British population exists in if they engage with a news cycle. I can't imagine this actually being a reality. I mean, I know a lot of us get called like crazy people for the things that we talk about and believe. But like just look, just bask in like the fire hose of retardation that is put into people's homes by the supposedly neutral and trustworthy BBC. This is supposed to be the gold standard.
This is what we call the agitation phase.
Yeah. There's something that no one's mentioned as well, which is do you remember a certain Mr. Hunter Biden and a
Oh,
certain sort of
Gazprom, by any chance?
Ukraine deal and all of the nonsense there, and whether or not this is a really good excuse for the Biden family to make sure an awful lot of bits of paper find their way into the shredders and bins, so that there is no way of actually pointing any fingers at them in the future if this were, to.
Don't tell me like Ukraine's gonna go tits up and we're gonna have a Patriots in Control moment.
Oh no. The historical thing again that I keep trying to impress on people is that in the 90s, a bunch of people in Western Ukraine woke up and they weren't Russians anymore. There's this whole thing about Russia moving its borders around. Russia literally does like pick up border fences and run with them in quite a hilariously, almost cheeky way.
But
It's not very nice for some of the people in those regions. But this is what happened to a
that's not
lot of
just Russia
people.
though. That's just
No.
what has happened. Everything everything east of the Rhine was drawn on with crayons at one point in about 1945 and has been smudged continuously and redrawn in ever since, and nobody really has a clue at the end of the
I'm gonna say it was actually drawn about 1920 by this guy called Woodrow. Well, you mean
day. Yeah, this
it's
is true.
fucking it's Woodrow Wilson again. That's all these streams are. It's just us going, Woodrow.
Wilson!
Yeah,
Oh dear.
unironically, yes.
Because the Americans came in, decided that Eastern Europe needs to be made up of all these like imitation American federal states, and it didn't fucking work because Americans have brain damage and don't understand what ethnicity is.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Don't worry, we'll just take these ethnic groups that have been sparring over each other for self-determination for centuries, almost half a millennia, and we'll just all stick them in different countries together. I'm sure they got on right.
Yeah, we'll stick them in these weird, like, conglomerate dependent, like, these weird client states. That's exactly what happened, though. That's exactly what the Ukraine is. The Ukraine is, even more so than most countries, a very tenuous legal fiction. It is something that was made up on a map essentially in the 90s, because historical Ukraine never really existed. It's the same with like historical Georgia post 14th century never really existed. It was a territory of the Ottomans, then it was a territory of, you know, once you got to the 19th century, of the greater Russian Empire, which quite hilariously, if you look at the situation in 2008, that the Georgians were very, very enthusiastic about Russian rule because they were Orthodox. And it, you know, to them, it was almost an act of coming home. There's all of this like historical context that people will screech at you for pointing out. And that they, that's it. I'm going to declare the Russians are going to attack me tomorrow. So when they don't, I can declare they are bitch-ass niggers who was afraid of me. It's basically what they've
Tesseract
done.
Tesseract brain strats. You're going to attack me. No, I'm not, pussy.
That is actually the entirety of the NATO strategy. That is what's happening. It's not more complex than that. I don't know, Trey.
There's an independence article in the sidebar here. The sexist reason people might not take Storm Eunice seriously.
Oh, don't. No, I'm.
Fucking pull my eyes out.
Yes, I saw that earlier. Yeah, no.
Sorry, this is the one from 2008 you're talking about, though.
No, but this whole thing that reminds me. I'm just hearing Otto von Bismarck's words of if war happens in Europe, it'll be because some damn fool thing in the Balkans that sets it off. Are we looking at this again? Are we looking at some fucking idiotic thing in Eastern Europe?
History doesn't tend to repeat. It merely rhymes.
Yeah,
I'm getting the George Lucas voice here. It's like poetry. It rhymes. George Lucas. But yeah, there's a lot of people who've been like, the narrative with the illiterates is that Ukraine has never tried to join NATO. It never tries to join NATO until Russia attacked it. And yet.
I'm going to say, if I'm right in saying in here, does this article not contain essentially an admittance that Bush and NATO at the time said, "Nah, we don't want you"?
Basically, no. What happened was Bush said, "We want you." And a lot of NATO went, "What the fuck does a bunch of Ukrainian potato farmers get?" Because NATO set up so there has to be a percentage of defense given to the greater NATO so that it makes up for the extraterritorial defense.
It's like 2.5% of GDP or something, isn't it?
Yeah, the rest of NATO looked at Ukraine and went, this just waters us down. This makes us weaker.
2.5% of potato farm don't mean shit.
It doesn't just do that, though. I mean, literally, politicians and Russian diplomats and even American diplomats. Who was it? I was looking at this earlier today. This guy called Tom somebody. Tom, I'll find his name in a moment. He was an American diplomat. In the 90s, frequently, they've all said, for God's sakes, don't try and put NATO in the Ukraine, because if you do, it will piss the Russians off so much. Time and time again.
We'll go over it in a little bit. Well, I want to go over this quick, because this really refutes anyone's timeline about how the Ukraine thing unfolded. Because what happened in 2008 was Bush got very aggressive with trying to get both Georgia and the Ukraine into NATO. And as you said, Russia repeatedly said, quite rightly, that NATO is an explicitly anti-Russian organization, and it will not tolerate areas with, you know, quite large ethnic Russian populations being absorbed into an explicitly anti-Russian organization. I mean, you know, he uses very lofty language. He talks about the fact that NATO being absorbed, sorry, that Ukraine being absorbed into NATO could lead to an ethnic Russian genocide, basically. But the point that he's making is that having a country that is explicitly anti-Russian in its foreign policy will inevitably turn any Russian population has domestically into an enemy. I mean, we saw
Well, yeah,
all
no,
the
but
Russia, Russia,
his,
Russia panic in
I think
America.
there was a genuine concern there actually, because the UN pretty much helped the Bosnians attempt at least to genocide the Serbs when they didn't want to play ball.
Yes.
So no wonder that it's like, you know, it's 2008, it only happened, you know, 2 decades ago. They're not, or a decade before prior. They're not stupid. Anyway,
Yeah,
this is the
I
guy,
mean,
Thomas Graham Jr. Thomas Graham Jr. Look him up. He's repeatedly said, "Do not get involved with NATO in Ukraine. It's a terrible idea." You know, it used to be his job. He was
well, the
former U.S.
best.
Senator, yeah, diplomat.
I'm going to say another, no, a better source that we have is in the WikiLeaks article that I sorry, it was tweeted out by somebody, but
Yeah, I've
it's a
got.
WikiLeaks section. It's from a leaked communique
Oh, I've got
by
one.
Director
Nice.
William Burns, who was the head of the CIA in 2008, on Ukraine and Russia. If you want to get that one up. And I'll just read this verbatim because this is amazing. It says Ukraine and Georgia's NATO aspirations not only touch a raw nerve in Russia, they engender serious concerns about the consequences of stability in the region. Not only does Russia perceive encirclement, an effort to undermine Russia's influence in the region, but it also fears unpredictable and uncontrolled consequences, which could seriously affect Russian security interests. Experts tell us that Russia is particularly worried that the strong divisions in Ukraine over NATO membership, with much of the ethnic Russian community against membership, could lead to a major split involving violence or, at worst, a civil war. In that eventuality, Russia would have to decide whether to intervene, a decision Russia does not want to have to face. This is the director of the CIA saying this in a private communique, in which he knows that trying to force Russia to live with a Ukraine NATO would create, even without Russia's decision to interfere, a civil war.
You know, this is their like in-group way of asking each other, like, is this game on? Is this what we're actually doing here?
Well, the Russian, like I said, the Ukrainian civil war is framed in the West as a Russian invasion. This is not strictly true.
No, it's a color revolution.
Yes, what happens in Ukraine is exactly what they're talking about here, in that groups in the West start to take up arms and prepare for the fact that they might have to try and separate themselves from a NATO Ukraine. And Russia makes the decision to support them. That's the decision that they make because they're Russia. And in doing that, they just the West ups its rhetoric against them, and they just go, fuck it. We're gonna get Crimea back. We're going to roll into to Crimea, and guess what? The West aren't going to do a thing because they don't have the stomach for a conventional war in Europe. And as we all saw, Putin came in and he made a mockery of the European Union. He made them look like a joke. And he once again has it's happened again. I don't, like I said, I'm not a great fan of Putin. I think he's somebody who is. He's like one step above a Yeltsin, really. He's overseeing an extreme kleptocracy that is in many ways extremely weak still.
Well, we
He's
only
reformed the
have this
military,
sort of
yes.
mythical image of him as, you know, the hardball strong man, because they have to play up that image. The thing I always try to explain to people, especially in terms of in China as well, they can't pretend that ch or they can't tell you that China are incompetent in one mouth and or sorry in one breath and then tell you to be scared of them in the next. They're not quite, you know, the propaganda isn't as pervasive enough to get away with doing that at the same time.
Yes, they can't quite do that with Russia either. They have to play up this idea of Russian strength. Even though it's only partially true. Like,
well, no,
I said,
that's exactly the point.
Yeah. Putin's Russia is not someone I would consider a friend. He's not someone who's a friend of Western movements. I mean, I know we talked about it last week a little bit, because it's been posted publicly, but like, me and you sat and asked questions of Alexander Dugin, who is referred to in the media as Putin's brain. Mm-hmm. He was the Naz in Nazbol during the whole Limonov
Putin
thing.
The Naz in Nazbol.
He literally put the Naz in Nazbol. and
sorry, this is a place to then insert like a really obscure Ed Neddy meme, but I'll not.
Yes. Naz has many balls, Ed boy. No, but his line, his angle, I think, in that, even though he actually gave quite an interesting talk, was that Britain and the West needs to look inwards and leave Russia to be Russia. And quite honestly, I think that's the best case scenario we could think about. Mm-hmm. I think that not antagonizing Russia would make Russia look more inwards, which is what it needs to do. And Putin at the moment is actually making the mistake of looking far too outwards. He's forever warsing Russia, which is going to, they don't have the resources for that. It's going to make them suffer quite heavily if he doesn't stop fighting on so many fronts.
I think he has to, though, because otherwise the democracy will start kicking in.
Yes, otherwise he feels that he will be subverted at home. He's taking a lesson from what the Americans did. The Americans did it very successfully with the Forever Wars. In that the Forever Wars distracted the public until it was time for all the COVID stuff, basically. It distracted the public with looking outward rather than having to look inward and deal with the horrendous structural problems that the US has.
I find it hilarious that that once again, just CIA, the think tanks. I mean, we even mentioned some of the stuff to do with the color revolution in Ukraine via some of the text in CIA Bond the other week. You know, it has all the hallmarks of the next big fake war or big fake Cold War.
It's the next big Faustian internationalist geopolitics thing to soak up the headlines. It's so fake, though. There's not even really anything to it. At least, it's like with the COVID stuff. It's like in place of a war. It's like things have got even more abstracted. At least in Iraq, there was actually a war. This is trying to play the role of a forever war without anything actually happening.
Mm.
It's like we've reached full simulacrum. We're getting towards it being a simulacrum of a war. It's very Maoist in many ways. It's a very no look at the COVID, no look at the white nationalists, no look at the Russia, no there's this happening now, there's this happening, it's the climate change. And there's just deliberately people being pulled in 1,000 different directions by what are supposed to be trusted establishment figures screaming at them that the world is ending.
Mm.
If you don't have the populace behind you, you don't have people going, oh dear God, yes, absolutely raise taxes. We must fight these terrible aggressors and so on. If you don't have that, it's impossible to fight these wars. So they've got to whip up sentiment in the press. They've got to keep screaming that the sky is falling. But eventually people will realize that it's a Chicken Little moment again.
I mean, this story here, they're talking about, you know, by 2015 as part of an expanded anti-Russia effort, CIA ground branch paramilitaries also started travelling to the front in eastern Ukraine to advise their counterparts there, according to some half-dozen former officials. I mean, they're talking about advising defence forces. What they really mean is they're going there to gaslight people into starting a fake separatist war.
Essentially, yes.
I don't know, but a big part of the links we've got is one of those, the article about Obama's government essentially handing money through the Ukrainian president directly to like Israeli-backed neo-Nazi groups.
Oh yes, that's one of the links. I think we should talk about first though the CIA one properly, because that article's hilarious.
Fair enough.
Where where they're just the Guardian article. I think it's the Guardian article where they're just
It's
straight up.
the Yahoo News one I've got at the
Yeah,
moment.
it's the oh, yeah, it's one that was put out everywhere basically. This was put out on the Newswire, and the headline is literally just CIA trained Ukrainian paramilitaries may take central role if Russia invades. Let's not forget this is part of the same news cycle of them saying that there's going to be false flag. They are coming out and saying that they have CIA trained paramilitaries. Then they are also coming out and saying, oh, by the way, the other guys are doing the false flag. It's so ridiculously transparent. It's bizarre just to like, I guess they primed people for it already, but just to go, yeah, we have CIA paramilitaries, and there's going to be an unclear situation in which both people are finger pointing, and you just have to accept this.
But yeah, they've already started the pre-propaganda of suggesting that there might be a Russian false flag attack.
Yes. But it's just they are so with the Arab Spring stuff and the air cover and the good Syrian rebels and all of that, they've just got the public used to the fact that Western nation they wage these ugly proxy wars with these barely trained, barely
Yeah, I mean,
literate
literally, the United
mercenaries.
States is training an insurgency, said former CIA official, adding that the program has taught the Ukrainians how to kill Russians. I mean, this is almost like, this was probably posted all across, Russian websites through Reuters and all sorts as an, attempt to essentially try and scare them off.
Yeah, this very much feels like them saying, if this goes south, we're going to genocide the Russian people in Ukraine. Like, it didn't say, yeah, we, it's, it literally, yeah, it just says, we have been trained to kill. It doesn't say Russian troops. It says to kill. That's very deliberate language there.
No,
It's
exactly.
not. If you were trying to make yourself look defensive, you'd say, defend Ukraine from invading Russian forces.
Yeah, sorry.
The phrase kill Russians is very deliberate.
Also, the psychology of the Russians. If this has been written on purpose like this, the Russians aren't going to be frightened by this. They're going to be pissed off. The average Russian bloke is going to be, oh, really? Well, we will see about that. It's stoking. It's saber rattling and going, dare you, go on,
Well,
fight.
they use the phrase "stay behind" force training. So what? The exact same as all the anti-communist groups that they then used to carry out communist false flags in the 50s and the 60s.
Oh God, all that stuff. That stuff's great. We need to do like a full. That
Yeah.
needs to be in if we ever do a conspiracy
Well,
theories that are true, part two.
see, I would like to do that as part of the post-democratization thing to essentially poo-poo the whole Cold War narrative before it even really gets started by essentially suggesting that the whole thing is a complete fugazi. There is no communist threat in Europe and insurgent governments, nor is it actually as a powerful Russian state. Because throughout the entire Cold War period, the Russian state was basically falling apart and was held together with duct tape.
I like I keep telling people the vast amounts of war aid extend right up until and beyond the Berlin Airlift. It's quite hilarious the amount of Operation Gladio. It's quite hilarious how like on life support Stalin's Russia still is, even as America with one hand and the British are turning him into the Iron Curtain caricature
Going
from
back
Uncle Joe.
decades, the CIA's provided limited training to Ukrainian intelligence units to try and shore up an independent Kiev and prevent Russian subversion. Aye, I'm sure yous have.
I'm sure you remember it, Trig, but the
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the idea of the CIA in a foreign country training up people to prevent Russian subversion.
Oh, you've got
Where's
to
the person first? Fuck you guys!
be worried about those communists. They'll be here any minute.
Wait a minute, you are subverting them in front of weeks, so we can't subvert them? What the fuck is
You
this? They're all drunk, even for vodka. Anyway, sorry, go on.
saw it. I'm sure you saw it too, Drake. But this is, I was a lot younger back then. But I've gone back and retrospectively read a lot of sources at the time. I'm sh if you want to get it up, get it up there with the.
Are we going for the classic Kuwait number?
No, we'll do the 45 minutes one first. 45 minutes from attack.
I've got this. There we go.
It's a 2003 headline. There's a dossier which became known, I think, as the Dodgy Dossier. The Dodgy Dossier was the one on the WMD. Yeah.
There was so many, but just all the false reports and.
Christ, all this lot. Yes, I remember.
I believe this was like. This was in all the UK newspapers.
Is this the. Are you talking about the Hans Blix number where he turned up to the Iranian nuclear place and he turned up to test it and then said they didn't let him in? And then they said the report saying you never showed up and asked. It was something along the lines of that.
Yeah,
the thing is, he was going. All credit to Hans, and you know, I always enjoyed the fact that they had a guy called Hans looking for arms.
Fuck you, Hans Bricks.
Hans Bricks.
But Hans, he actually was doing a decent job because he was wandering around Iraq going, no, I can't find any weapons of mass destruction. The CIA were going, no, they're there. They're there. We're absolutely certain that they're there. Here we've got these photos of some sand dunes. We're pretty certain they're under there. And he went around and looked under the sand dunes. Can't find any. Fuck it, we're going in anyway.
I can't find it. I just looked for ages. The very famous image of Colin Powell at the UN. With this board that shows fucking nothing, with these red arrows, and he's got a pointer, and like everyone's just looking at him around him, like he's shit himself, like he's a retard.
I remember that because when he died recently, and folk were like, "You can't say that about Colin Powell." It's like this man gave evidence in a UN conference that justified, you know, one of the largest modern conflicts and again almost genocides of a populace. Under false pretenses, he knew it was bullshit, and he still
he caused the death directly or indirectly of about 3 million people.
He pointed at some pictures of what was just a normal Iraqi airbase and went, we think there's some nukes in there.
A Mulcahy knows he's mentioned the babes in the incubators, but before we move on to that, which was a hilariously, it's very they made my granddad into a lamp.
I just also interject that period of time was one of my favorite political actors of all time, which was the Iraqi information minister.
Oh,
was basically a comedy actor for a couple of weeks during that whole thing.
Comical Ali?
Yeah. No, there are no tanks in Baghdad. Tank behind him.
that's David Lammy tier. I don't see any police officers.
Thank you there, Amol Kane. I've been reminded of another forgotten relic of the Iraq War era, which is Suzanne Rice. Coming out and saying that Gaddafi supplies troops with Viagra to encourage mass rape.
I remember seeing that one.
Based. I mean, hold on a second. Did they realize that this is actually basically an American... They were basically developing the love bomb, which was essentially the idea was that they would drop it on enemy troops and get them so horny that they would all be too busy buggering each other. And it was a total failure. It didn't work.
Well, that's because the first time they tested it on the Turks, but the Turks do that anyway.
Well, yeah.
I've heard
was tested actually in San Francisco as well.
I've heard this from multiple people.
Mm-hmm. Wait, in Cyprus. You ask anyone that's on...
I think... Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, no.
My brother told me this as well.
Yeah, you might as well give the story.
No, they are. They're terrible in Cyprus. A mate of mine was over there. And, they used to go up and sneak up to the watchtowers on the Turkish side and flashbang them for a giggle. And the amount of times they would run up and about to flashbang them and look in through the window and find two Turks buggering each other.
Imagine someone blowing a flashbang up as you nut. You think he died and got to heaven.
Oh, dear me. But the whole thing about the, like, there was loads of them, though. This is only one of many. Can any of you guys remember any more? Because there was so many of them.
Well, see, there's all the nonsense in Syria where they tried three times in a row to put Assad under the cosh for gassing his own people. And two times it didn't even happen. It was like the first time it happened, even the UN had to come out and be like, this, there was no gas attack. And in the second time, they were like, well, we haven't found any evidence. And in the third time, they had to basically hide the evidence that the same people who were organising the white helmets were the people that bloody did it.
Yep.
We need to have a dedicated, there'll be a dedicated thing about the as we talked about, the white helmets itself is a rabbit hole. And we've not covered that in full yet. We've done it in bits and pieces. But yeah, my favourite one in Syria was, I think, the second time. When they went, you have to let in weapon inspectors, or we're invading in 24 hours. And they're like, walk in, have a look.
Yeah.
And they're like, and it took them like a month to get people over there. Yeah. And then they kind of embarrassedly kind of shuffled away saying they couldn't find anything.
Do you remember Bana Al-Abed? The little like 11 or 12 year old girl they had
who spoke
fluent English and was very clearly reading off prompts. But she was given half-hour interviews in bloody Sky News about the geopolitical situation, and she's naming all these different groups at the FSA and all these different armies. And it's like, oh my God, how do you know this? You're clearly reading off a board, and your parents are probably some sort of embassy members.
There's so much.
I mean, I've always followed the general rule that if you're seeing a piece of media that directly shows you a child describing suffering or a child suffering, something fake is being shown to you.
You are being manipulated every single time, yes. Without a doubt. A traumatized kid is the worst thing to put on a TV screen, because all they do is, if they're actually traumatized, is wail or shake. They can't fucking get out anything straight. If they're actually giving, oh yes, it was these guys over here, and they, no, that's reading off a script. Absolutely every time. And they don't want to be on TV. They don't want a camera in front of them. Traumatized kids just want to curl up in a ball and hide.
It's
not that I have a huge amount of experience with traumatized kids. I sound like I know way too much about this subject.
Well, anyone who understands how like children work knows that like these hyper articulate like the climate goblin, these weird high projects.
I'm gonna have to go over to the Kuwait one, because that was.
I'm gonna say that is the, I was actually trying to segue there.
I don't know if you can find it anymore. I think it's become a bit difficult to come across it, but there used to be so many copies of this interview on YouTube, and is it some court hearing or something she's in?
Yeah.
And I try to remember, are you a 15-year-old girl or something? She's giving her testimony.
The unkillable incubator babies.
Yeah. Press conference last week. Sheikh Salim al-Salim al-Saba. How are we meant to take these people seriously?
Go on. Neck a few, down a few, and then say that again.
I had to say that after a couple of sherries. Accusation was shocking, somewhat more than an atrocity. While I was there, I saw the Iraqi soldiers coming into the hospitals with guns and go into the room where 15 babies, because she counted them all, were in incubators. They took the babies out of the incubators. It took the incubators and left the babies on the cold floor to die. It's like some sort of like 12-year-olds like entrance into like a writing competition or something.
The thing is, this was the justification for the escalation of the physical war.
Yeah,
this was one of the key pieces. No one really remembers it, because it was this weird artifact. Deserves an Oscar. I found it, by the way. It's about 6 minutes long, so I don't think we have really the time to play it.
If it's on YouTube, we probably wouldn't want to play it anyway for the sake
No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in the chat for people.
Yes.
If they want to watch it themselves. I'll put it in the chat here, but here's like 6 minutes of propaganda. It's like, what's her face? Magical Pakistani girl who advocates for global homo now.
Oh, is that the one that gets shot in the head?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Our dad's totally not linked to any Islamist groups at all, we promise. Even though he's part of the Islamic Brotherhood or something.
Yep.
Oh.
they do this all the time, and it's an effect I talked about when I talked about the COVID stuff, and how in 10 years' time, or not even that, in 5 years' time, the majority of people will tell you that they were ardently against the lockdowns.
Yeah.
Just like they will tell you that they were ardently against the war in Iraq.
Well, we will see Guardian articles within a year, maybe two, questioning whether we overreact. Guarantee it.
The thing is, what the worst part is, any accountability, as they mention in here, they're talking about, you know, inquiries 1981, shortly after the Gulf War ended, found no reliable evidence that Iraqi forces had caused the deaths of babies by removing them or ordering them from their incubators. You can't then undo the war from this. You can't, and no one gets held accountable because all these people then disappear into the vacuum of NGO money and wherever they go. You know,
a lot of them get fucking suicided, like the head of the White Helmets did.
That, or they get scapegoated, and they become sort of middlemen patsies for the whole process.
It's also tiresome because you see people just. It's like you can show them one for one how this happened in a previous conflict. And they will just screech at you that you're a servant of Putin.
Russia's bombing hospitals in Syria. We've got to go in, guys. Footage comes out 2 weeks later that it was a US drone that did it. And it was actually footage from several months prior.
I've literally been called a Russian bot twice this week. I respond in Russian. It's great.
it's a good layer of shit test. That if somebody cannot break out from the hysteria of the news cycle, and again, I don't understand why. I've even had conversations with people where I've had to pull them back from being on the brink. People I like, people I know, who have just been like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense," because they've been so exposed to the propaganda that's going on, and they will react that it's like, "Well, why do you support Putin?" It's just like this is not a binary situation. That is such a disappointing reaction from people. Mm. But to point out that this is a giant nothing is to become a servant of the Kremlin. Just like to point out that Iraq has nothing to do with the training of Al Qaeda terror groups, which is the way that the Iraq war was sold to the American public. That's another forgotten point of history. That they were talking about the Al Qaeda training camps in Iraq, which, even though the history of Iraq is hilarious, because of the social structure there and the fact that that Saddam was there precisely to stop that, and he was very good at stopping that. In fact, what he used some of his previous gas reserves for was stopping that.
Yeah, because that's what we told him to do, and that's why we put him there.
That's why we gave him the gas.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same way. It's the same with Assad. The sarin gas that Assad had was given to him from the Egyptian government when it was under some form of like semi-NATO control after they collapsed it or something. They basically said, "Oh, here, you take this." Just because we've gone and collapsed, Egypt's collapsed. You might need this, Mr. Assad.
Yes, they were given it basically for safekeeping during the Arab Spring. Yeah. Because they were seen as the safe haven, the stable country.
Well, I think there's a further thing there. To the other supplies of chemical weapons that the Syrians had were from the Saudis. And the Saudis basically foisted it upon them. And they said, "No, we don't want these." And they said, "Well, you can keep them because we don't want them either." Because they didn't want to get in trouble for having them.
Oh, dear. Again, though, like we've talked about repeatedly the fact that Assad, you know, was our guy.
Yeah.
It's a damn. Our guy.
We stan the London ophthalmologist.
Yeah, Saddam was our guy to an insane degree. He was someone plucked out of relative obscurity by the British authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was done so for the clear reason that he would be, you know, the mad lad that he became. That he would be this iron fist figure that would keep a lid on Iraq. So he's put there to do. It's the same thing with it's the Cold War strongman tactic again. Mm-hmm. That's why North Africa was how it was. That's why Gaddafi was how he was. It's all the same stuff. But shall we go through? I think the last source we've got is the one we've gone over before, but it's just so funny. The Israel one.
Israelis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Amoy came. Has been asking for this. Yeah. This is.
So okay, we've got it. We know about this one.
Uh-huh.
I like the slanted spicy windmill that they have.
Well, see, there used to be a fantastic video on Twitter, which was like the now the look at the dub of his head, dude, laughing for like 45 seconds over a connected photo montage of like the Azov dudes with all the like the Nazi flags. And then them holding ISIS flags.
Oh, no, no, no,
and
no.
Then, yeah, and then them walking around with, like, ISIS flags, Nazi flags, and then, like, Star of David's and that.
Oh, no, 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 no. but, yeah, that's the long and short of it.
The rights groups demand Israel stop arming neo-Nazis in Ukraine.
It's just...
Oh, Eugewalt.
It's just the spicy windmill boy there, having the, like, the...
The divorce. That,
When was this?
It's like
that's an X-95 by this stage.
I don't know, it says...
That's a divorce. Yeah, that's a divorce.
That's not a divorce. That's an X-95. It's a variant of the Tavor, but I precisely very know that is the X-45, because it's actually slightly more compact than the Tavor. The Tavor has slightly different furniture and has an even more ridiculously big handle on the front of it.
The whole thing I take from this is not just, haha, this is funny. It is also to remember that, like, don't just think they only fund neo-Nazi groups in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never forget this, Mason. Never forget this.
It's a long-standing tradition of the Israeli state to fund neo-Nazi groups. Otherwise, they wouldn't exist, because there really isn't any organic appeal to neo-Nazis anywhere in the world, really. People have just kind of got over that. People think that is, like, literally and figuratively cringe.
Well, because they've been gaslit through, you know, media since at least the 60s, that being a Nazi is the worst thing you could physically be as a human being. It's better for you to be a paedophile than as a Nazi, as far as the vast majority of society is concerned on a gut instinct level.
What are you saying, Trish?
You've got my gun nerd thing going off. The X-95 is the shortened version of the Tavor.
What does it need to be short for? It's already a bullpup. Is that no short enough?
It's meant to take the role of the P90, basically.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just looking at the Tavor, and I'm looking at the X95.
The X95 replaced the Tavor in service, basically. They all became variants of the X95.
Well, I mean, it is the X95 is the X95 Tavor, but
I'm going to say by 2018 they were all X95s. That's what I was saying.
There's even more good stuff in here. In the past, Israel has armed anti-Semitic regimes such as the General's regime in Argentina, which murdered thousands of Jews in camps while its soldiers stood in watchtowers guarding the abducted prisoners with Uzi submachine guns. Freedom of information petition to Israel's defense ministry from last January. Israel also armed Bolivia's military regimes, knowing that Nazi war criminal Klaus Barbie was part of the regime. Legal documents used to convict the head of the junta also showed that Barbie's death squads used Israeli Uzis.
I mean,
they're literally funding the South American Nazi war crime escapees.
I don't know, If in Minecraft something has to be done, let's say, can we get some Jerichos? Can we get some baby? The very aesthetic.
I want a Galil.
Galil's just an Israeli AK.
It's a really well built AK, though.
It's a Finnish AK by way of Israel. It's a it's a, what are they called? Shit.
You actually want a Chinese AK?
Nah.
I want to. It's a fucking Valmet.
No, honestly, the Chinese AKs are really good.
Ah, Chinese AKs.
They are very solid.
It's like Narenko, because they all get made at the Narenko. Well, you've essentially got Narenko with your...
Yes.
Hey now, cool it with the anti-Semitism.
Oh, I do love a good bit of American Psycho dinner table talk. It's such a good concept. I saw that clip again on Twitter the other day. Me and Jess were just sitting laughing at it. And it's hilarious that scene to so many people probably doesn't make any sense. They can't grasp that, like, this is the mask that the psychopaths in the real world actually wear.
Sorry, I've just refreshed the Streamlabs. Sorry, we got a donation a little bit ago. I didn't actually catch that there, from Gammon Elite Worshipper, saying, but Evelyn, if you clear them out, who will serve my tea at Pret?
Well, yeah, no, exactly. Who's cool if you clear them all out? Which Bulgarian is going to deliver a pizza to you at 3 in the morning on a moped, as Jonathan Bowden would say?
Dear.
Wait, I have the appropriate image for this, because AE was asking me for laser eyes memes earlier on.
That's quite funny. There's this a great genre from about 2011, 2012, of propaganda from UK like broadcast media about the massive wave of European immigrants that arrived, and there was multiple Channel 4, Channel 5, ITV all had programs about how British workers weren't willing to do the work. It's basically like Council Estate feckless porn. They found like the worst junkies they could and like tried to say that they're an example of why British people couldn't pick strawberries and things like that.
Mm.
And watching it now, it looks... Just,
can we get an obligatory, clear them out?
Clear them out.
I just love he's got like a Walther and nickel plating almost, and in some form of like large 357 Magnum. It's such a great image. It's behind some sort of like Jackson Pollock painting.
Are you sure that's not a 44? That could be a Type 29.
I don't know. It's a big can gun anyway.
It's a fucking cannon. Yes, you're right. Don't get my gun nerd started. That's we'll be talking guns all night.
Thank you, Fox Strike, for pointing out that I did realize that was the Valmet eventually. I unfarted my brain. Valmets are cool because they have bottle openers on them. Clear them out!
Every gun's a bottle opener if you're brave enough.
Yeah. Oh, that is exactly the other comment I've heard about that too. That's pretty good. Is there any of these sources we've missed before we go into kind of a roundtable general chat to round this out?
No, I think we've looked through everything really. I mean, I don't know. I think if people really want, you know, the specifics of like who's got what troops and interests and resources and, you know, the sort of research that we wouldn't be able to do if we weren't doing all the other stuff. I would go and recommend any of Prudentialist streams on the subject.
Yes.
I think he also did a good stream with Samuel Gogg the other week on the same subject. And I would imagine, I don't know, he seems to be very on the button with all that stuff.
It's quite funny because off air on the stream, he was like, oh yeah, I used to watch your stuff. You're one of the reasons I started doing this. And I'm like, whoa, okay. It's interesting how I've been like doing this in bits and pieces for so long, I have at least managed to have a little bit of an impact because I've been so many places. I managed to reinvent myself so many times, to be honest. I've been quite lucky in that I've been able to do a large variety of different things, a large variety of different places.
Mm.
And people are always very, if they've not known that, they're always quite surprised that I pop up somewhere else doing something else. But I've been doing that for basically the last like 7 years in different guises. Mm-hmm. And every time I do decide eventually it's time to move on and do something different. And I'm sure this will be no exception once YouTube becomes an inviable platform. But until then, we're here, we're doing this, and we're trying to have a much more intensive chat with a manageable sized audience.
Well, no, if we get kicked off of YouTube, we'll make sure to record these on wax cylinders, which you can find at your local radiogram shop.
Oh, what was I going to ask you, Trick? guests specifically, Trig. It's not even just the specific events, although we did talk about them. We talked about the Viagra. We talked about all the fake shit. It's the tone of all of this, just the way it's all presented. The language being used is, it's so similar to what we saw before the Iraq War.
Yeah,
it is.
Same old saber rattling. Not Iraq War One. I will grant you, Iraq War One did come out a little bit out of the blue, and all of a sudden it was, as you said, the babies are being thrown out of incubators. Quick, get troops in fast. And I remember that. I remember that very well. It was far back enough that even I was still at school back in those days, and I had family that was out flying in the RAF at that time, and so I was very, very interested to listen to everything that was going off, and I do remember that. But certainly weapons of mass destruction. Oh, we've got to go in there and 45 minutes till invasion, or he could launch chemical weapons on London at any given moment. And
it wasn't
Saddam's terrifying. No, he's not. He's a dirt farmer.
Do you want to know how much of a reach it was? Do you know how much of a reach it was? It wasn't London. They were saying he was going to launch a chemical strike on Cyprus. Weirdly enough.
Okay.
Because there's a UK military. They basically scrambled to look at the map. They stretched the range of the longest range missile that Saddam could feasibly have. And the only place that they could see that he could feasibly reach where there were UK troops was Cyprus. So they ran with Cyprus, doesn't make any fucking sense.
Isn't that what they did with all the stuff about North Korea as well? That they just it's like, oh, they can finally hit Japan, ooh, and then ooh, they launch some dud missile, and
they've been launching dud missiles all the fucking time. They're always launching missiles over Japan.
No, exactly.
Japan.
Right? Yes, Jerusalem. They mentioned the Holy Land. They did talk about that.
Oh, well, in that case, we must go and defend.
Well, no, they also do that all the time, though. I mean, I'm just waiting for the times where they actually start to play on, like, Babylon, like, mythology. Eschatological sense, as Dugan might say.
Let's not forget the super gun. The super gun. The super gun that could hit anywhere in the world, just about. That thing
with
the fire.
How the hell does that keep opening and bang?
Oh, I've lost my fucking my mind at the moment. Who was the British guy that got murdered over the super gun?
Oh yeah, he was the British engineer who was very, very wacky, and he basically went out and his whole hobby was like super guns, and like Stan was like, "Come here and build a super gun." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And it was originally supposed to be a cheap way of getting like payloads into space, if I remember correctly, but it didn't work. It didn't work at all. And yeah, they got kind of worried about that, even though it wouldn't work.
Gerard Ball, thank you. Yes, yeah. The amount of British engineers and scientists, everyone goes on. Oh, Putin's killed this person, and Putin's killed that person, and polonium and so on.
Yeah,
let's have a look at how many people Tony Blair and Bush and all those that have assassinated, not to mention Obama, Christ.
It's the whole Lukashenko thing where someone shot him with an umbrella and put polonium in his system, which is almost impossible. Because if polonium gets into the atmosphere, it essentially ionizes almost all of its stuff instantly. The guy would have to stab him in the back of a leg with a polonium-tipped bloody umbrella. And then you had
that's what they said happened. It was so fucking dodgy James Bond movie type shit.
Well, the example from Iraq, specifically the Iraq War as well, was Dr. David Kelly.
Mm.
Dr. David Kelly is the other one I was thinking of, yeah, of course.
He was the weapons inspector who tried to refute all these stories. And he was found dead under very suspicious circumstances. And it was all never quite resolved, and people moved on from it very quickly.
Well, do you remember when there was all that big Novichok nonsense, and they tried to pretend that, like, if someone had used that chemical agent, it would only ever stayed in the, you know, they were like, oh, well, this stuff's been released. I swear it was probably going to be some form of false flag thing, and it ended up going wrong. Because for a half an hour, 45 minutes, they reported it as chemical attack in Surrey or something. And then they said it was Russians and it was Novichok and this, that, and the next thing. And you had folk who were in the know were like, really, it's that stuff. Right then, this will be bad. That will have spread and they got a lot of folk. And it didn't. It killed like one dude that was a Russian ambassador, and who they said, and some other woman who they said was his wife, but they never really confirmed at Salisbury. That was it. But
Yeah,
that thing all
the
just stunk as
Salisbury.
well.
Yeah, it's Novichok is like, yeah, they were like, it's Novichok dosed food. It's like, what? It's like, you don't ingest that stuff. It's a the yeah, again, I remember that. That was very strange, and the whole thing fell apart and was
Because it's like if there was enough of it in the food to give it to the person that was eating it, everyone else in the restaurant would have got it.
His daughter got ill apparently, which again, it's like a parts per million death thing. It's like Novichok's extreme. It's like sarin on steroids. That's how they that's how they tried to sell it to people.
That
And
was it was Markov. It was Markov that was assassinated by an umbrella.
yes, it
Another
was
one.
Markov.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just extremely bizarre because nothing really ever came of it. And again, they backed off it pretty quickly. It fell apart pretty quickly, but there's been all kinds of stuff like that. I don't know. There's also the very famous case of the guy who managed to seal himself in a bag and cut himself up and seal himself in a
Oh,
bag as a prank.
yes. It cut himself up, put himself in a bag, and put the bag in the a in a, in the in the in the bath, and then filled the bath with water.
Yep.
Police basically were caught on record get saying, "I bloody hate these smart ass
I
suicide."
think the officer sort of tapped his cigar and said, "Yes, we call that one the reverse Houdini."
Smart ass suicide, just trying to prove a point.
Yes, Gareth Williams.
Yeah, poor chap.
No, the fact that it's all Ukraine is very interesting. It was sort of was mentioned earlier on, Hunter Biden making silly amounts of money at Gazprom and billions of dollars of money being
He
transferred
was
and
found in a red North Face bag, padlocked from the inside, in a bath that was full of water. Sorry, go on.
Very iffy. Very iffy that one. Poor chap. Oh, have I lost you?
No, we're still here.
No, okay. So
I don't know, I think
just dead air then.
yeah. No, the moral of the story is smash your TV and stop reading the news.
Yes.
Do us all the world a good. And see, that's the we would know about none of this if it wasn't for the fact that like even when you're not in your own home, there are people listening to the radio, the TV's on at the pub. You can't hide from the constant. I mean, even when I was in the hospital the other week, getting something looked at, constantly blaring over BBC Two, Jeremy Vines. Oh, I've got a hot report in that new troop movements are happening on this part of the Russian-Ukrainian border, as if the people that listen to Jeremy Vine at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday have a clue, nor do they even really need to know in any sense. You're just making their lives worse. You're just panicking them.
It's the oh God. The thing is, a lot of the contemporary sources on the Gareth Williams stuff disagree with what's been written subsequently, because a lot of them now claim that they never said it was a suicide, even though there's all kinds of stuff with them saying it's a suicide. Sorry,
Well,
I was just looking at some stuff like
who's been charged with the murder then?
that. I just
I mean,
anyone have any sorry.
he was the one in the bag. He was a spook. He worked
Yes.
for GCHQ, and
He
then got put on loan to another department, and then disappeared. And well, I mean, just goes to show, just don't even work. Don't work
yeah,
for them.
basically gets
You are not
Seth
safe. Yeah, you will see something, you'll do something, and they'll go, ah, early retirement for you then, Sonny. And yeah. Scary, scary shit, to be honest. God knows what happened to him. Poor bugger.
Slightly solemn tone to the end of the stream then.
Espionage.
Oh, no.
Espionage. Hello, Mr. MI6. What are you doing with that North Face bag?
Here's the thing: is he was Mr. MI6 though, wasn't he? It's like,
yeah,
because
he wasn't prepared for Mr. MI7.
Yeah.
He never forget the fact that it goes up to the MI9. There is 7, 8, and 9 exist, and they do things, but you never hear about them. I think 8 is the internal propaganda ministry or something.
You know what number 1 is, don't you?
God, is 1 not like the government itself or something like that?
It's the Queen.
It's the Queen, the government.
It's the Queen.
I know, it's the military and all these other aspects to it.
There were loads of them. There were loads of them created during the Second World War. A lot of them got shut down, mothballed, etc. But yeah.
Oh dear. Anyway, guys, thank you for watching.
Indeed.
We'll have a pretty spicy, unless something like comes up or we get a guest or something. We do have like next week's stream topic planned. It will be quite a spicy one.
Yeah.
Where we are actually going to do like a how do you do fellow goys. So that should be pretty good because there's a lot of stuff come out of that recently. I know you dug that up, Evelyn. So
we do need the how do you do fellow whites image.
Yes, it is extremely that. Thank you guys for watching again. Thank you to everyone who donated. Thank you to all our continuing members and everyone who's been DMing me about all the stuff we've been talking about and doing. I have some good conversations in private with you guys, so thank you for that. Either of you two got anything to show that you've forgotten about before the end of the stream?
Not really. I would just remind folk, if they're interested, to look at any of the Nomos stuff and keep an eye out for a stream on Monday.
And of course, subscribe to PewDiePie.
Have just said something about Harambe.
Yeah, right. No, goodbye. We're done.
That's it. I have ended the stream.
Good.